KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9, I'm Dave Beck. Seattle's Doug Fullington is a Renaissance man with a keen ear for Renaissance music. In 1993, Doug founded Seattle's Tudor Choir. In those days, he was working on his law degree at the University of Washington. Away from law school, he was singing music of the English Renaissance with fellow UW students and pursuing his longtime passion for the history of classical ballet. Law never became Doug's profession. Instead, he is a professional dance historian and administrator at Pacific Northwest Ballet, and for 20 years now, he's been the artistic director of the Tudor Choir, a Seattle ensemble of professional singers whose repertory ranges from the sounds of Tudor England to colonial America. That's music of John Shepherd as sung by Seattle's Tudor Choir. They're celebrating their 20th anniversary season, and we're talking with the artistic director, Doug Fullington. I want to begin here to get just a sample of what you do, and again, the sound and style that you're rooted in. It's a composer by the name of John Shepherd. Approximately when did he live, and how does he represent this style so well?
Well, his history is a little cloudy, but we think he lived from 1515. And we know that he died, we think, in December 1558, probably from the flu. He was invited to Elizabeth I's coronation and was on the guest list, but he didn't make it. He was director of music at Magdalen College, Oxford, and wrote music in a really aggressive style, a lot of sort of jumping, soaring lines, and it really speaks to me. I think he's a great figure. He was a little bit unknown until maybe 30 years ago because one of the part books that includes the tenor line of his music has been lost, so it requires some rewriting, some editing to get his music published.
Mm-hmm.
The piece is called Libera nos, salva nos. It means liberate us, save us, O Blessed Trinity. And at Magdalen College, you were required to say that when you got up in the morning and also when you went to bed at night. And so Shepherd made this beautiful setting of it. There are actually two settings, and we have them both on our new recording. And this is the more elaborate of the two.
The story of the Tudor Choir in Seattle, Doug, is woven together with that of another Seattle institution, the Compline Service at St. Mark's Cathedral. What is Compline, for those who might not know, and how did it play a role in shaping your work with the Tudor Choir?
Well, Compline is the last of what we call offices of the day. In a monastic community, you would sing services throughout the day that include psalms and prayers, and Compline was the one you would sing just before you went to bed. So all of the texts and the psalms have to do with safety and a good night's sleep, but also have to do with the end of your life as well. Mm-hmm. It's a really beautiful mm-hmm. service.
And you sang in this over the years?
I sang in the Compline Choir at St. Mark's from 91 till 2005, mm-hmm. 14 years.
Yeah. And you met members of the Tudor Choir there, or how did that all
I did.
Evolve?
Well, in school at UW, for a couple of years, I had a group of friends, and we formed a choir called the English Singers that I ran. And then after we had sort of run our stint, after that I joined the Compline Choir actually to perform Spaminolium for a celebration for Peter Halleck. And I joined regularly, and we put together a group of singers for a post-Compline recital. Usually they're organ recitals, but sometimes they're choral. And after that, one of the guys, David Stutz, who was singing with me, said, you know, we should incorporate this group and form a choir. Mm-hmm. So we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about Spaminolium, because that has an important place in your repertory. And Peter Halleck, we'll mention, was the founder of the Compline Service, or he initiated it there.
He did, yes, back in the 50s, and has been a wonderful inspiration for me and a great influence.
Yeah. Whatever one's faith or spiritual practice or background, Compline and the English polyphony that you sing with the Tudor Choir has this contemplative and reflective and centered presence that is so broadly appealing. And I wonder if that's a big attraction and draw to you over the years.
It definitely is. There's a great, I think, profundity to the music. Even if you're not completely aware what the text might be or it doesn't suit the beliefs that you've chosen, I think that the music creates a wonderful contemplative atmosphere, as you've said, and I find that that speaks to so many people. It's very expressive.
Mm-hmm. How did a choir like yours, so steeped in this beautiful English music of centuries past, come to perform on stage with Garrison Keillor and A Prairie Home Companion? That's part of your 20-year history story.
It's true, and that was a lot of fun. Well, as a series of summer concerts, we began to perform American shape note music, music from the New England school. And again, David Stutz, who I mentioned, brought this a lot to my attention. He had come from Chicago, where he had been involved in some singings of this music. So we started doing it. We found we kind of had a knack for it somehow. We had great altos that could sing in chest voice. It took a while for us to find our own style, but each summer we would do a performance of this music, and we recorded an album called the Shape Note Album in 1995, and then we were invited to be on the Garrison Keillor Prairie Home Companion when they were out here in Woodinville.
Right. As I recall, they created a sketch around you folks. And
they did. They did. It was great. We were thrilled to be a part of it, and we had a great time.
Yeah. Well, as you'll hear, it's a very different voice and sound, as you've described a bit. Tell us what this tune is that we're going to hear. It's called Schenectady.
It's Schenectady. The tunes were often named after towns. You'll hear in the first half of the piece that we're singing just syllables, sol, fa, la, and mi, which was a system, the sol, fa system, which helped people learn how to read music. And from then on, we go on to the hymn text. The music is characterized by a great independence in the four parts. Each part was supposed to really out-sing the other part. That was the style. And for us as a choir, it was wonderfully instrumental in helping us develop a lot of vocal independence as individual singers. And it, in turn, really influenced how we approached the Renaissance music.
Oh. This is called Schenectady, and it's some shape note music as performed by Seattle's Tudor Choir. That's music from the Tudor Choir of Seattle's Shape Note album, recorded in 1995. Schenectady is the tune, and we're talking with the Tudor Choir's artistic director, Doug Fullington. They're beginning their 20th anniversary season. And Doug, you were talking about how singing shape note music develops this kind of independence of voices. Everybody has to sort of find their place in the choir.
You really have to hold your own.
Yeah, yeah. And that's very much an important facet of singing when we consider this piece called Spem and Allium that you're going to be performing this season. It's what's called a 40-voice motet by Thomas Tallis. Can you tell us a little bit about this piece and how it's, you know, quite well-suited to what you do?
Sure. The piece is written for 40 different parts, and it's divided into 8 choirs, and each choir has 5 voices, a soprano, an alto, a tenor, a baritone, and a bass. So you need at least 40 singers to perform it, and that's how we do it, one singer to a part. And you really do have to be really independent. The parts aren't easy. There's a lot of syncopation and jumping around, but they come together into a really momentous whole. Thank you.
What does music like this tell us about the original setting in which it would have been performed? Because it sounds like it very much is taking advantage of an acoustical phenomenon.
There are a lot of theories about why and when the piece was composed, and one theory is that it was composed to be sung in an octagonal room in Arundel Castle in England, where each of the eight choirs would be in one piece of the room, of the eight-sided room, and that certainly sounds very plausible. We also know that Tallis was familiar with a 40-part piece by an Italian composer, Alessandro Strigio, and that he may have been writing a companion piece, or he may have felt a sense of competition and was motivated to write his own 40-part piece. And actually, I think the general feeling is Tallis is far superior to Strigio's.
So the Tudor Choir is a professional ensemble, and that puts every bit of those professional chops to the test to perform something like this.
It's really true. A lot of singers that sing for me have their own careers as soloists, as music teachers, as ensemble singers with other groups. And I'm very fortunate to work with these people. They come in, they really know what they're doing, they read music very well, they work with each other very well. It's a pleasure.
Spem in Allium, music from the 16th century by English composer Thomas Tallis, sung by Seattle's Tudor Choir in a 2005 performance. This music is featured on the opening concert of the 20th anniversary season of Seattle's Tudor Choir. That performance is this Saturday night, October 27th at 7:30 in Blessed Sacrament Church in the University District. I spoke with the Tudor Choir's founder and artistic director, Doug Fullington. More information and music from the choir is at our website, kuow.org. Search for Tudor. I'm Dave Beck, KUOW 94.9.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at kuow.org.